Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the thing. Yes, you feel very proud to wear the national colors. Of course, it's a big thrill to be able to do that. Basically, people must be honest. And apart from doing it for the country, let's not deny it, you also do for your own satisfaction. Let's not decry the satisfaction and the value and the thrill of doing something very well for yourself.
He's honest, he's candid, and he tells it as it is. As we gear up for the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio, Barnan speaks to legendary sprinter Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan, who represented Malaysia at three Olympics as a schoolboy, an undergraduate, and as a doctor. He shares with us the secret to his success and his fondest memories from back when he was known as the fastest man in Asia.
Barnan, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, welcome to another episode of Bar None, your weekly dose of all things sport. Good morning there, I'm Audrey Raj. Can you believe we are just 3 weeks away from the 2016 Rio Olympics? I mean, wasn't it just like yesterday that we watched Dato' Lee Chong Wei give his heart and soul in that men's singles badminton final at the London 2012 Olympics against Lin Dan? I mean, my heart still aches thinking about that day, but it does warm me when I remember just how the country rallied around our hero after that defeat. Now you see, that's what sports does. In the words of the late Nelson Mandela, sports has the power to unite people in a way that little else can. It can create hope where once there was only despair. It breaks down racial barriers. It laughs in the face of discrimination. Sport speaks to people in a language they can understand. And that's why human beings, they need and love sports. And with the Olympics coming up next month, I thought, hey, who would be better to talk about the language of sport, the spirit of sportsmanship, and the values of the Olympics than legendary Malaysian sprinter, Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me here to BFM 89.9 Business Channel. You are my constant companion on my daily travels to the Kuala Lumpur traffic, getting to the few places where I have to turn up. So cumulatively, I would listen to BFM maybe 1 to 2 hours a day.
Yay!
So I know all your personalities, although I've never seen them. And this is the first chance I got to come into your office and have a peep at you.
Welcome to the studios.
Yes, okay. So thank you for that. I'm quite thrilled about that.
As you can see, Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan is quite the charmer. A Malaysian icon in the 1960s, this man represented the country in three Olympic Games and two Asian Games over 8 years, brought home medals in events we never knew we could compete in, let alone excel at, and broke records that still remain untouchable till today. The best part is he did this all while he was studying to be a doctor and even when he was practicing medicine. There's no wonder then that this legendary sprinter was nicknamed the Flying Doctor.
The whole story of my family starts with my father. Now, he was a migrant from the Tamil Jaffna Peninsula of Sri Lanka. At 16, he was sent here exactly 100 years ago, 1906. So when he came here as a 16-year-old boy, he attended 1 or 2 years of school and then joined the government service as a clerk. And he took naturally to football and athletics. And, you know, they used to have the Malayan athletic meet, but it was only open to Europeans until 1924, when they said, okay, we'll let the non-Europeans participate. And my father entered and he beat all the Europeans and won the 440 yards, which he did for 2 years running, 1924-25. He was the first non-white allowed in and he won the race. Okay, so that's a historical start. So he didn't stop there. He went on to be an athlete for a few years. And he became a sports organizer. And in between getting five children, he also was the founder secretary of the then Federation of Malaya Athletic Union, which today is the forefather of the MAF. You know, that he formed that association. He formed it in 1953. so that he could take a team which consisted of himself and seven or eight others, including two of my brothers, to Sri Lanka for a competition, and also to participate and represent the then Federation of Malaya at its first encounter in the Asian Games in 1954 in Manila. So my father formed this athletic union first. Then to be able to participate in Manila, he had to form an Olympic committee. So he formed, together with others, the Federation of Malaya Olympic Council, which is the forerunner of the Olympic Council of Malaysia today.
Wow.
So he was the founding secretary of both.
A sportsman and an administrator,
no,
just like
you. By then,
you.
He had stopped participating. So in between, he and my mother had time to make five children. Four of them are in a cluster, separated by 5 years. And I was an afterthought 15 years later.
15 years later?
Born right during the Japanese time. In fact, my very first birth certificate is in Japanese.
Wow.
Of course, I have an English extract. I was 15 years younger than all of them. So, you know, all the time I'm hanging around, carrying their bags and watching what they do and all that. So two of my brothers started to compete in athletics. And in their own turn, they became, just like they followed my father, became 440 yards champions of their own right.
So that's the 400 meters today, right?
Today, yeah. But those days, you know, we are British colony.
Mm.
Then, of course, in 1957, Malaya became independent. And by that time, I was already a student in Singapore, studying there. Because I followed my sister, who was like my guardian, you know, to Singapore. And I went to secondary school in Singapore, University of Singapore, and so on. So what happened is, when I started to go to school at the age of 6 to Batu Road School, I'm already brought up in a family that is winning prizes, you know, and winning events. So when the very first time we go to school, primary school, and then the teachers will say, go out to, you know, the field for physical education. And then they'll say, okay, all of you run to the tree and come back. Mm. And of course, I always made sure I came back first. You know.
The competitive spirit.
Not really spirit, I suppose it was a natural talent as well.
Mm.
And an interest, you know. And of course, I feel proud to go home and tell my parents about that. My father will be very excited. And when it came to the primary school sports, of course, all the children will run once a year in a sports meet.
Yeah.
And my father, being who he was, he bought a pair of spikes for me. So I was the only one among these kids wearing a pair of spikes. Everybody's running barefooted.
School sports.
School sports, yeah. Barefooted, yeah. But, you know, so that you can understand the background.
At the age of 12, Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan was sent off to Singapore, where he studied at the premier Anglo-Chinese School, Singapore. He credits his education and athletic training in the city-state for developing his talents, not only on the track, but in the field of medicine as well.
My athletic career started to develop, mainly because there were very good school teachers, sports masters those days, who were just doing this in addition to the teaching maths or science or anything, you know. Sports was their passion as well, so every evening they'll catch all the kids who can do all these things, and they spend all their time, you know, training us. So I learned the trade from teachers in the school, as well as then once you get recognized, you join the clubs. And the club has a coach, and one coach in Singapore in particular, Mr. Tan Eng Yoon, who is now deceased. Now, if I need to name one person responsible for my athletic progress, it would be him. Okay, because he really took me from schoolboy standard right up to Olympic level, you know, and even Asian Games champion. I would credit him with that. But of course, there were other people who came from time to time, especially American coaches. At that time, it was the practice of the U.S. government, as part of the USIS or United States Information Service, to do a bilateral movement of people, you know. They used to send out athletic coaches and so on, and at the same time, they used to give opportunities for school children to go and do attachments. So I was also fortunate to get one of those. I was attached to a place, a black school. In America at the time, in the South, there were black schools and white schools, but the sprinters were all in the black school. So I went to the black school, the Texas Southern University in Houston for 3 months, you know, where again, just before the 1962 Asian Games, where I honed all my skills and competed with so-called black brothers, and, you know, and came back and won Malaysia's first Asian Games gold medal in 1962 at Jakarta. You know, before that, the best we had done was a bronze medal in 58 in Tokyo. So that was the first, Malaysia's first Asian gold. Now, of course, after that, we've got a whole series, many, many other sports and many other people, which is good. So, but that was the start. So that was my Asian Games thing. But before that, in 1960, when I was 16 years old, there were trials to select the Malayan team for the Rome Olympics. So for athletics, there were three of us selected, three teenagers. We were known as the teenage trio. Shahruddin Muhammad Ali from the Royal Military College, he was 19 years old. Kamaruddin Maidin from a school in Terengganu, Shahruddin Ali was 100 meters. Kamaruddin Maidin from Terengganu was a long jump, 18 years old. I was for 400 meters from Singapore, but running for Malaya, 400 meters, age 16 plus, going on 17. So three of us were sent off to Rome. Oh. And at that time, how it was sent off by the newly independent Federation of Malaya Olympic Committee, of which my father was a secretary. And you know, how did they raise funds? There was no Ministry of Sports, no sports council. So how do they raise funds to send this Olympic team? They hold dances. They stand on street corners and sell flags. Oh. People put 10 cents in a box and put up, you know, those flag things. Mm. And they raise money. And sometimes if they are a bit short, they'll ask you to go and get help from your relatives to fill up the coffers. That's how we go to the Olympic Games.
Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan was one of the youngest competitors at the Rome Olympics in 1960 when he represented Malaya for the first time. 2 years later, he captured Malaysia's first gold in the 200 meters race at the 1962 Jakarta Asian Games. He was just 18. But it was the 1964 Tokyo Olympics that really saw Jagadesan gain traction on the world stage. He clocked 20.9 seconds in the 200 meters semi-final, something unheard of for a Malaysian. He then went on to bag three gold medals at the 1966 Asian Games in Bangkok in the 100 metres, 200 metres and 4x100 metres relay events, an achievement that saw him blessed with the title, the fastest man in Asia.
You know, usually people like catalysts. So once one or two successes and then people want to emulate and copy. So this whole 60s thing started with the 62 Asian Games, with the first gold medal. So suddenly people say it's possible. Gold medals are not only for Japanese, Koreans and Chinese, you know. We also can do it. So, you know, people get motivated and they aspire. And so people start to
think Malaysia boleh.
Malaysia boleh. Yeah. And then they get encouraged. So this crop builds up, you know. And then we had actually also very good local coaches. As well as at that time, we had imported American coaches. People of the genre of people like Tom Rosandich, Stanley Wright, Bill Miller. These were American coaches who actually dedicated their efforts to really strengthen the Malaysian athletic scene, right? So this crop came up in 66, and we, at that time, so I won the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 4x100 meter relay as well. And then we had Rajamani, who won the women's 800 meters, and our strongman, Nashata Singh, who hurled the javelin further than everybody else and got his gold medal. So five gold medals between us. And so that was something that goes down in the Malayan athletic history as some effort to be equal at some point.
Mm. And then let's now move on to the 68 Mexico Olympics.
Yes.
And this is where your record in the 200 meters became official, 20.9 seconds.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
All right. So after 64, we continued, yeah? And by 1968, you know, and as you notice, I participated in three Olympics. Yeah, 1960, I was a Singapore schoolboy. In 1964, when I went to Tokyo, I was a fourth-year medical student. And in 1968, when I went to Mexico, I was a first-year medical officer in the government service. So I've been as a schoolboy, medical student, and a qualified doctor. So before going to Mexico, they made arrangements for three of us to spend time in Europe to prepare ourselves. Mm. So this was Nashata Singh, myself, and a middle distance runner called R. Subramaniam. So three of us spent some months in Europe and joined the Olympic team at the time to go to Mexico City.
Mm.
So our preparations were in Europe. It was a good preparation and we were getting ready to do our best by the time we reached Mexico. So of course, Mexico had its own excitements. I was working my way through and got to the semi-finals again and still didn't make the finals. And in the semi, you know, I did the time of 20.92, which remains
an unbroken
national record till today.
Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jagadesan retired from athletics after the Mexico Olympics to focus on his career in medicine. He served the government health service for 32 years, including the post of Director of the Institute of Medical Research and the Deputy Director General of the Ministry of Health. He was later appointed as Chairman of the Commonwealth Games Federation Medical Commission and is also the Chairman of the Medical Committee and Anti-Doping Commission of the Olympic Council of Asia. He has also served as the Deputy President of the Olympic Council of Malaysia. And in all this time, after almost five decades, his national record at the 1968 Olympics in Mexico remains unbroken.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't expect it to hang around there. You expect these records to be broken in a decent period of time, maybe 5 years, 7 years. But somehow it didn't happen. So you can ascribe it to one of two things. Either I was ahead of my time, you know, or these guys are not, you know, they didn't work hard enough.
The current guys, not working hard enough.
Not working hard enough.
Okay.
And I think that is part of the, what we call the landscape shift. Those days, young people like us, we only knew physical activity as recreation. Every evening, any one of us will just rush out of the house to play something. Either you run or you play football or you
cycle. Or you...
And if your neighborhood, there's a guy who had a football, he became an instant hero. Because 20, 30 people could hang on to him and have a game. You know?
Yeah.
Similarly, somebody, and if you didn't have a hockey stick, you cut a tree and you fashion your own hockey stick.
Cut a tree branch.
Yes.
Guy never did that, but...
Yeah. I mean, we did that, you know, and if, you know, we didn't get stopped because we didn't have a proper hockey stick.
You got stopped by your mom when it was like 7 o'clock and you
yes,
come
yes,
back
yes,
home.
Yes, of course, because the moms would stand at the gate. And you know, those days we used to live in, you know, link houses or common quarters or whatever it was. Moms would stand at the gate and there'd be a series of moms, you know, and all the moms would be singing like a chorus, shouting for the children to come back, you know. And then you'll have your routine, you know, you have a quick bath, do your prayers, whichever religion you were, quickly eat your food, and then do your homework, you know. And those days, we did all these things because, and even if we went to school and teachers actually scolded us, slapped us or anything, we dare not go home and report it because we'll get another slap.
Yeah, because your teachers know better.
Yes, today I understand parents will send lawyers letters and maybe even take lawsuits against the school, I understand. But those days, we dare not tell our parents we were slept. Because we'd get another slap. The interest in physical activity among our younger people has diminished. So you get a lesser pool, you know. And also, Malaysia has been doing quite well in some sports. We are world best in squash. We are world best
badminton.
We do very well in bowling. We are not so bad in archery. What is common about all these sports? They are... comfortable environment. They are in air-conditioned rooms.
Right.
As opposed to the hardcore sports of hockey, football, athletics, where you got to train 4 hours in the hot sun, made worse by El Nino.
And the haze.
And the haze. So, our Malaysians are not unsports-worthy, but they're more attracted by sports with comfortable environments, I believe.
Next week, we continue our chat with three-time Olympian Tan Sri Dr. Mani Jegadesan, this time discussing the power of Olympism.
So my other two friends also similarly met similar fortunes where we got eliminated from the first round. But it didn't matter. We got into this Olympic spirit. And for me, actually, this Olympic thing, you know, almost like a religion, you know. It sucks you in until today. Olympism, the whole Olympic thing. I mean, it's like another, I mean, you know, not you know, casting any kind of aspersion or anything. But it's almost, you know, has the religious fervor, almost, for those who get sucked into it.
What's Olympism? Find out next week. Same time, same place. Till then, this is Audrey Raj for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!